We can never, ever let the blood of Jesus become some age-old forgotten doctrine of the church. Now, it's so important that we focus, like we do, on discipleship, that we focus on being committed to grow in our understanding of God's Word. It's so vital that we are faithful to always come together, that we worship together, that we never forsake the assembling of ourselves together the way some have gotten into the habit of doing in our era. That's what the Scripture says. We can never discount the importance of serving alongside one another, and that we can enjoy all of the wonderful benefits of belonging to a great church family. And man, we got the best around, don't we, guys? Praise God. These are all values, everybody, that must drive us, must define our actions as the children of God. But I want to be very, very clear this morning. We live in a time when it has become popular in the world of church to value the doing of church and to value all of the social benefits of belonging to His body. And we have got to be very careful, or we could forget, church, exactly what it cost the Lord for us to come and be part of His body. It cost Him everything for us to be saved and be part of what's going on here. Come on, everybody say everything. We can't forget what it cost the Lord for us to be born again, to be redeemed, for us to be part of His body. Let me say it very plainly today. This is not some cheap membership. Although some people treat it like a cheap membership. Pastor Brandon, are you fixing to preach this morning? I don't know yet. Some people treat it like it's cheap membership, but this is not cheap membership in His body, everybody. Come on. Your new identity is a child of God, and your eligibility to become a member of His body was paid for. When Jesus, the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God, when He willingly surrendered to a deadly, horrific suffering, and if I can get us thinking about anything this morning, let's take the time to consider that without His sacrifice, there would be no hope of salvation for me, you, or anybody. There would be no redemption from the bondage of sin. Church, without His blood being spilled and poured out, there would be no way to have freedom from all the shame, from all the guilt, and all of the regret from those things that happened in my life or in your life, either through us or to us. Without His blood, all of this, y'all got to hear me now. Are y'all following me so far, guys? Without His blood, all of this is just a waste of time. Every gift, every greeting, every note played or sang, every word preached and prayed. Without Jesus' blood, it is all no more than a gathering of people who are working to fit into a social scheme and doing their best to make the people around them think that they're being better than they used to be. Somebody say a good amen right now. Come on. Without His blood, we're spinning our wheels and wasting our time. His blood must still be the focal point and the center of all that we do. When He is at the center, it means that His blood is at the center. His blood means that this is no cheap membership. His blood is more than just a long-lost teaching and dogma of the church. No, His blood, church, is still the gateway into forgiveness and your gateway and your own ramp into the brand new life that God has for you. It's the only way. Hope you can receive it this morning. I know it's contrary to what a lot of people are accustomed to in our era, contrary to what a lot of churches even like to preach and teach. But I just want to show you three things today. When He is at the center, Notice this. When he is at the center, you are redeemed by his blood. You're redeemed by his blood. Romans 3, 23 and 25. You can read this on your screen. Most of you are familiar with this passage. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Praise God. Verse 25. "Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith." Why? "To demonstrate his righteousness." Look why. "Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed." Praise God, praise God. What does that mean, Pastor Brandon? It just means, you know what? Because Jesus was willing to give his life and sacrifice and shed his own blood, God would turn around and be willing to be forbearing us and dealing with us and being patient with us and willing to look past the sin in our life. I want us to be clear this morning. His blood is not just a symbol of our religion. It's the only way that people can obtain a righteous status before God, no matter how hard you try. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you get the opportunity to tell someone about what the Lord did for you, what do you tell them? Oh, it's good to tell them about the church. It's good to tell them about your experiences of being a part of his body. Come on, it's good to feel good about all the benefits of belonging to his body. And I'm so glad we feel good. Come on, everybody. And I think that's where most people really land. And I'm so glad people are excited about church. But please hear me. In our era right now, if we're not careful, people can spend more time witnessing about church than they do about Jesus. Pastor Brandon, what do you mean? Well, you know, I've heard this all the time. People talk to one another, inviting them to church, and it's a wonderful thing to invite folks to church. Listen, I don't want anybody to ever say, "Pastor Brandon got in the pulpit this morning and told us not to invite people to church." No. But I'll tell you this. It can't be the focal point of our witness. They'll say, "Hey, you've got to come over here. We have this for you. We've got that for you. There's a program and there's a place for you and your family. And I love this message at this church and at that church. I've heard we've got the best this and the best that. The most impressive forms of spiritual entertainment." And they might say, "You and your family will be so impressed by this plan or this program or by this leader or that leader or the way that he does this or the way that she does that or the way that this program works or that works or that facility or this facility." Church, all of those things are wonderful and we need them and we have got to have them. But please hear me. Let's never forget that people, plans, and programs are not the ones who freely justify by grace. People, plans, and programs do not have the authority, nor do they have the ability to demonstrate righteousness that through forbearance can pass over their sin that somebody previously committed. Only the blood of Jesus can do it. Come on, somebody. Only his blood can penetrate the hearts and the minds of a person. No church, no person, no plan, no program can penetrate somebody's life. Oh, you might be really good at making them feel welcome, and we emphasize hospitality in our church an awful lot, and it's very, very important. You can be very, very good about making somebody feel the right way, about offering a plan to help somebody grow, teach them how to live, and how to feel better. But no matter what you do, without the blood of Jesus Christ, that person will never, ever be changed by the power of God. He or she will spin their wheels, sometimes for years, trying to wonder why in the world they can't shake that same old sin and that same old behavior and that same old tendency in their life. And it might just be because somebody told them that church was the answer and this Bible study or this relationship was the answer. Church, all those things are wonderful, but the answer is give your life to Jesus. Let him take out your old, cold, stony heart and put in a heart of flesh and change you from the inside out. That's still the answer, his blood. Oh, come on, I hope we all get so excited about church that we invite people every single day of our lives. But we live in a time, church, when church assimilation has taken the place of the message that changes a person from the inside and gives them a brand new heart. So when you get a chance to tell somebody how you were changed, don't just tell them about a great program or a great preacher. Don't just tell them about a children's ministry or some way they can fit in. Tell them about how you personally were once caught dead in chains, held captive by sin. But Jesus Christ decided to spill his blood on a cold, hard ground so that you could get back up and get bought back from the slave market and reconciled in right relationship with your Heavenly Father, church. That is the message that will change somebody's life. His blood is the answer. His blood is the answer. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Church, this is the message that needs to define who we are. The message that we need to be communicating to the world around us. Why, Pastor Brandon? Because guess what? His blood, thank God, still forgives sins. And it's by his grace, not by that little pinch and squirt of goodness that we can strive all day long to try to produce. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. Amen, everybody. Come on. If you trust him and you believe it, come on, give him a big praise right now. Come on. And sometimes people will wonder if what Jesus did was really enough to forgive them from what they did. So I'll remind us of point number 2 this morning. When he is at the center, you're not just redeemed by his blood, you are cleansed by his blood. When he is at the center, you're cleansed by his blood. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Church, did you know that this is a vastly neglected teaching today? But it's a teaching that should be emphasized in all of our spiritual formation. When you put your faith in the blood of Jesus, you need to hear this today. You don't just receive forgiveness. No, there's a cleansing that takes place. Who's thankful for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus? Come on. What is this, Pastor Brent? I don't understand the difference between being redeemed and being, oh, there's a difference between being redeemed and being cleansed. He does them both. You don't just receive forgiveness of sin. There's a cleansing that takes place. And that means that you are washed. Come on, everybody say washed. Come on. This is why we focus so hard on the teaching ministry of the Word of God in this church. How many realize it's the Word of God that washes us? We love to worship, but we also need to make sure that we're being washed by the Word every time we come together. You're not just forgiven, you're cleansed, you're washed. What am I washed from? You're washed clean from what you used to do and who you used to be. This is how Jesus' blood changes and alters your relationship and how you relate to sin in your life. Forgiveness and cleansing. What does that look like in our life? Well, Hebrews 9 just told us that it's when your conscience has been washed clean. Did you know that you have a conscience? I've known so many people who have repented to God, and they're truly sorry for what they did, and they're thankful for forgiveness. But they still don't know that true freedom from their past, because although they have the spiritual condition of being forgiven, they still walk around every day shrouded in that guilt and that shame associated with what they did. If that's you this morning, you need to know that Jesus' blood doesn't just forgive you, it creates a brand new status for you in the sight of God. And that includes the finished work of relieving your conscience of all that regret and all that remorse from your past and those things that the enemy loves to throw back in your face and remind you of what you did. You need to remind him that Jesus shed his blood on that cross. And because of his shed blood, you don't have to walk around in that guilt anymore and that shame anymore. And you have been free. That means washed clean, and your conscience has been clean of all those dead works. Come on, somebody. Pastor Brandon, what about my sin? You don't know what all I did. Can Jesus really relieve me of my guilt and my conscience? Absolutely. 1 John 1:7 says it like this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from a little bit more authority. He cleanses us from all sin. One more time, everybody say all sin. Does that mean that thing that I did? Yes. Pastor Brandon, you don't realize how bad it was. I don't care. His blood is badder than how bad you used to be. Come on. Some people think they've got to punish themselves for the rest of their lives because of what they did. Church, I want to tell you, his blood's stronger than all that. Come on. Take a look at this classic old picture on your screen. It's a depiction of the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa. This is a story from the book of Acts chapter 26. If you've read the book of Acts, you know that the Apostle Paul spent all of his life, all of his ministry life, praying and asking God for an opportunity to go to Rome and to go before kings and emperors so that he could tell his story and testify the gospel before kings. And here in Acts 26, we finally see him standing before King Agrippa. And when he did, this was part of his testimony. Here's what he said from verse number 9. He's going to recount his own sin. He says, "Indeed, I thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints I shut up in prison." Watch this. "Having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. You've often heard in your discipleship life how bad Paul was, that he was a killer and a persecutor of Christians. And here he is in Acts 26 giving you his personal retelling and his recount of exactly what he did as a persecutor of Christians. He said, "I used to shut him up in prison. They gave me the authority. The religious people gave me the authority to go around and imprisoning these people. Their charge was blasphemy, and their sentence was death. And it was time to put them to death. I cast my vote against them because they were believers in Jesus." Verse 11, "I went around persecuting them, went into the synagogue, and look what he did. I coerced them. I compelled them to break the law. I compelled them to blaspheme." He said, "I was so angry and enraged against them that I even persecuted them to foreign cities." What does that mean, Pastor Brennan? It means when he ran out of people in Jerusalem to go into the synagogue and arrest who loved Jesus, he chased them down to the other city and arrested them over there too. In other words, this guy was bad news. But I want us to jump over to verse 16, because if you know the story, Paul was en route to Damascus on his way to persecute Christians there. But on the road to Damascus, something happened. How many know? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up with a bright light, knocked him off his horse, and blinded him. If you don't think his blood is enough to forgive you, I want you to see Jesus' response to this bad guy. Paul's blinded on the floor of the road. Who are you? Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Look at what Jesus had to say. He said, verse 16, rise and stand to your feet. For I have appeared to you to make you a minister and a witness. Somebody ought to rejoice right there. Come on. You know, this is exactly the opposite of how we treat people when they sin against us. Y'all pull your toes back just a little bit. People sin against us. We don't turn around and find a way to pray for them and to bless them. No, we want to be vindictive and have bitterness and unforgiveness in our life. Listen, if you're going to be Christ-like, you got to stop trying to do it on your own and function and live every day of your life motivated and fueled and inflamed by the blood of Jesus in your life. And when his blood is at the center, you'll forgive a whole lot easier. Come on. Jesus said to him, you know what? Rise and stand to your feet. I'm appearing to you now to make you a minister and a witness. Look what he said, verse 17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people and the Gentiles, by the way, to whom I'm sending you right now. And here's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan back to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Church, hear me out. You need to see what Jesus just did right there. He flipped it on Paul. At this time, his name was still Saul. He flipped it on Saul. He said, you know what? You've been spending all your time tracking down people and persecuting them because they love me. But now, guess what, big boy? You're going to spend the rest of your life tracking them down for a whole other reason. Now, you're going to give them my love. You're going to give them my truth. You're going to go to them for the purpose of changing their life from darkness into light, making sure that they understand that they trust in my blood. They can finally receive the forgiveness of all their sin. Come on, somebody. Here's your message this morning. If Jesus can take a man who was set out to imprison them and kill people because they were believers, and that same man was so vile and he was so angry toward believers that he coerced them into blaspheming just so that he could convict them, and that same man voted to have believers killed even though he tricked them into breaking the law in the first place, church, if Jesus can take that guy and change his life and his heart and give him a gospel mission and make him probably the most effective Christian leader who ever lived, if he can do all that for Paul, guess what? He can use you too. It doesn't matter what you did. His blood is stronger than what you did. Come on, somebody. Come on, say it after me. Say, his blood, a little bit more authority. His blood, come on, is stronger than what I did. Come on, somebody. Amen. Can anybody receive that this morning? That brings me to the final point this morning. His blood is no temporary fix. When Jesus is at the center, you are victorious by his blood, now and forever. Now and forever. Y'all ready for this? I want you to see. Let me make it plain. His blood means that you're not vulnerable to the wiles of the devil. In fact, I can say it like this. I wouldn't be a responsible, loving pastor if I didn't tell you like this. The devil gets an awful lot of credit for things that we get into ourselves into. We give the devil an awful lot of credit, and it's really just your flesh. Somebody asked me one time, why is church growth so hard? There's really only about three reasons. Number one, sometimes church people decide to do their own thing instead of what God's word tells them to do. And next, we're in a real battle in which we're facing the world, the devil, and our number one enemy, the flesh. That's why it's hard. Amen. But his blood, and this is the part that we all of us need to understand. His blood means you've got victory over all that. You can relax, enjoy your life in God's presence, enjoy your church, enjoy serving the Lord, and get laid back about it, and just give and love and serve and do and just be born again and give the gospel and enjoy your life and quit worrying about all the religious garbage. Somebody say a good amen. Come on. Pastor, are you sure victory now is real? Colossians chapter 2. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers. Look what it says. It should say powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Come on. What does that mean? That means every battle you face is already won. And the only reason the enemy has any power and influence in your life whatsoever is when you yield your cares, your conscience, and your strength, when you yield your burdens and your worries and your mind and your heart over to him, because you buy into the lie that he's still got some influence over you. But the blood of Jesus shed on that cross has already won. Come on, the blood has already won. Amen, somebody? Somebody ought to just give God a praise right now. The blood has already won. You've got victory right now. Notice that this victory happened in the past. This is a past tense scripture. It's a reference to something that's already taken place. But the spiritual condition of the power of his blood never has lost 1 ounce of its potency. His blood still changes things like it did back then today. Amen. His blood still changes hearts today like it did back then. His blood still heals today like it did back then. His blood still saves today as much or more than it ever has. His blood is as real and as potent and as powerful as it ever has been. His blood never loses one bit of its power. Come on, somebody. We need to understand it today. He made a public show. He took that handwriting of requirements, that legalistic, lawful requirement. That's what he did. He nailed it to the cross. As if to say, these people are never going to be good enough. They can't do it on their own. The best I can do for them is give my life. But he nailed that requirement. On that cross, it meant he nailed himself to that cross, which he did in the garden when he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Willfully surrendering his life. That's why he was a spotless lamb. He never sinned. So the Father took his sacrifice in our place. Praise God, praise God. That's why you have victory right now. His blood. Everybody say his blood. Come on. You don't just have victory now, you have victory forever from now on. Let's jump to the future for just a moment. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to wrap this thought up today. When he's at the center, you have victory forever. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, watch closely, guys. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. This means that your victory through his blood is not just up until right now. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's ongoing forever and nonstop. And forever. It's never going to shut down. It's never going to quit. His blood is without. Come on, somebody. His blood will continue on forever and ever. His power. The accuser's been cast out. And here's what it says about me and you. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Somebody rejoice and give God praise right now. Come on. You have victory now. You have victory forever. His blood makes all the difference. When he is at the center, you're changed by his blood. Pastor Jason, can you sing? The blood of Jesus, man. I think one of the main things that I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus in my own life. And this is heavy. His willingness to shed his blood for us and for me means that I can please God and I don't have to do it on my own. Because I've tried that. I've tried doing it on my own. Have you? I've tried it, man. Come here, babe. The Word of God compares our relationship to the Lord like a marriage. And he tells husbands to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay, that's why he gave us marriage, to be that living example of his love for his own bride. Okay. And here's how this works. There are things about me only she knows. Because it's none of your business. There are things about me that she knows. Mistakes I've made. Attitudes, things I've said through the years. But when she looks at me, she loves me anyway. And she doesn't condemn me. Now, this goes both ways. I know y'all gonna think I'm lying, but there's some stuff about her that only I know. Pastor Brandon, there's nothing about Karen you can have on her. You're right. It's close. But I can tell you this. What does no condemnation look like? And this is what I'm offering people today. This is what God intends for you to experience in your relationship with Him. What does no condemnation look like? It means I can trust that all of my problems and issues, every mistake I've ever made, all my junk and garbage that only she knows about, I can trust that she will never, ever. Let me say that one more time. I can trust that she will never, ever throw it in my face. Come on. Come on. Ever. And she can have that same kind of trust from me. There's so much liberty and freedom knowing that your mistakes are covered. One of the reasons, with God's help, one of the reasons I have a hard time coming up with any dirt on Karen is because God blesses me and I forget. I don't care about it. This is what no condemnation looks like. His blood in your life makes an arrangement so that when you trust in His blood, the Father looks at your life and says, I don't condemn you over that. Can y'all receive it today? It means, listen, I don't just want you. Here's what that word said. Walk with me, honey. It's like this. He said, here's what that word said. You're clear. Your conscience is cleared of all your dead works. So His blood takes it a step further. He doesn't just give you forgiveness and say, it's okay, I forgive you. No, He then takes all that guilt and that shame that's in your conscience and He wipes it clean. And He gives us Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come on. He says, you know, I forgive you. That's step one. The next part of my blood in your life is this. You're going to walk around for the rest of your life. He's not going to cause you to forget about it. He's just going to cause your conscience to be clean about it. Amen. Praise God, y'all. Can y'all receive that today, guys? Never, ever, ever thrown back in your face. Clean conscience. Praise God, praise God. That's worthy of worship right there, guys. Now, before we clap, hang on a second. We're going to clap just a moment. Watch this, watch this. Why is it that the Lord can do that for us? What gives Him the authority to do so much? Here it is. Jesus Christ was born to a virgin named Mary. He lived 33 and a half years in this life and never sinned, not even one time. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God and did not let out one jot or one tittle. He fulfilled it every spot. He was the only human who ever lived who was not worthy to face physical death. And He didn't even have to do it. Remember what He told the disciples in the garden when they came to arrest Him? He said, I could call legions. I could call legions of angels to get me out of this situation. But I love you too much. You can't do it on your own. By the way, I don't have to call the legions of angels. I've already made up my mind, because last night in the garden, I was suffering and I was dealing with my humanity. And I prayed, Father, if there's any possible way for me to avoid this suffering, take this cup from me. I don't really want to be arrested and tried and beat half to death and then crucified the rest of the way to death. Yet, not my will, but your will be done. So I already dealt with all that. Come on, I already dealt with it. And when he gave his blood, it gave him that stance to be the, I'm almost done, guys. Watch it close. To be the one in the throne room of heaven who, when John saw the scrolls, your revelation will tell you that he looked to and fro and began to weep because the scrolls of the judgment of the Lord, no one was found worthy to open them. But the elder said, don't weep, for the Lamb is worthy. And there stood arose a lamb as he was slain. And he was worthy to do all this for us because of his blood. Amen, everybody. His blood makes all the difference. Jesus at the center means his blood remains in the forefront of how we live, what we believe, and what we do. His blood. Come on, if y'all receive it today, give God a great praise right now.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we would love to get to know you a little better. If you could, please fill out the QR code on your screen to your left, the Connect card. We just want to get to know you a little better. Figure out what's going on in your life, if you have any of your prayer requests, or if you just want to tell us something that went on in service that you just love to hear. We would just love to get a little feedback from you and hear what's going on in your life. Thank you.